Father, we thank you so much for a good day to be here. We thank you for the rain that you gave us and for the nourishment that it provides for the plants and so forth. And we pray that we would continue to thank you for everything you've given us. We pray that you would be with Brother Renzi as he teaches and preaches today, that you would guide and direct him, help him to speak to us exactly what you would have him say. And we'll thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The big announcement I want to make sure to mention, and I neglected to do so last week, this coming Wednesday night, Brother Strawn is going to be coming in to speak on Wednesday as well as the 27th Sunday when the Renzies are gone. So he's agreed to come and be with us on Wednesday night. So some of you that are usually not able to be here on Wednesday night, I hope you'll make special plans and come out and be here at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Brother Strawn will be here preaching. So just want to make sure everyone was aware of that, okay? So that's the major announcement for right now. Let's get back to singing, I guess. 152. Thank God I am free. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. You come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. All right. One of our very favorites, Everything's All Right in My Father's House, 211.
Thank you. have a birthday, but they aren't here this morning, so I don't know what happened, but hopefully it's Joe Koval. Hope we'll get to see him another time. I guess they went away this weekend or something. So, all right, we do have some children, so they can be dismissed now to go to their class. Ephesians chapter 6.
That's a tough passage. That is a tough passage for sure. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome this morning. It's certainly good to be here. It's good to see everybody here on this beautiful day out today. Amen. We thank the Lord for that. I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning. I'm going to be switching things up. We move the furniture around. Sometimes we have to move the furniture, right? What I'm going to do is I'm going to preach this morning what we're supposed to be doing in Sunday school. And I'm going to finish this morning Sunday school what I didn't finish last week in the preaching. Okay, so what that means is this. This morning I'm going to continue. Last Sunday morning we were talking about the love of God in our morning service when we had the Lord's table. And so I'm going to finish that up this morning in Sunday school. And then what I'm going to do usually for Sunday school, I'm going to be preaching on Psalm 34. So I'm just going to do that in the morning service. Okay. So if you have an issue with that, we got therapists somewhere that can help you. Amen. But anyway, this morning, if you would, please turn in your Bible to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Thank God for the Bible. Amen. Whew. We'd be lost without it, wouldn't we? This is a compass, that's for sure. Amen. And thank God for the church, for the house of God, where the Lord meets with us. Two places we ought to be able to find the Lord. We ought to be able to find him in the scripture, and we ought to be able to find him in the sanctuary. Amen. So when people seek the Lord, search the scriptures. They are they which speak of me. Amen. You want to find the Lord, search in the word. Amen. And also, you should be able to find him at the church house, the sanctuary, local church. That's sad to say, that's not always the case, is it? We know that some churches, he's not in the church. He's outside the church and knocking on the door to get in, if you will. And that's the sad truth that we face nowadays, no doubt about it. Amen. And so, but anyway, keep my wife in prayer. My wife is not with me this morning, obviously. An individual lady called her yesterday, last night, early evening, and explained to her that she's been addicted to Oxycontin for the last 2 years. Personally, she had to take Oxycontin for some kind of surgery and she wound up getting hooked on it. And so she called my wife for help and just, you know, she said she's supposed to be saved. She had gotten saved years ago. She did say to my wife, she said, I know I got away from the Lord and so on. And so this lady lives near my brother-in-law's church, one of my brother-in-law's church. And so what my wife doing this morning is she's taking her to that church. in hopes to connect them so that this young lady can go to that local church and hear the word. Like I was mentioning, if you're going to seek the Lord, you need to seek him in the right place. Go to the book and go to the church. Amen. Because you'll find him if you search for him with all your heart. Amen. And so that's what we're trying to do this morning. And so obviously you don't know this lady, but if you can remember her, just Lord, that lady, please help her. Help her to get back to the Lord. Amen. I think in our day and age, a lot of people are getting addicted even to legal drugs. Amen. People get taking drugs and such for certain things. And then after a while, they just start to, get hooked on it. And so our world is facing this crisis, not just our country. Amen. We're seeing on the different advertisements, Jersey and Pennsylvania, they're pushing this addiction. And we know it's a major thing. It's a major thing. And we know who's behind it. We know who's behind it all. Amen. And so we got to pray and pray that they seek the Lord with their heart. Amen. Because their promise, a matter of fact, I better be careful because I'm starting to get into some of the message. You ain't getting no message from this morning. We're going to save that. Amen. You have to stay for it. Psalm 119. Let me just take a moment to reiterate what we already talked about. On Sunday morning, we're talking about the love of God, and there's a lot of things in the Bible about the love of God. So obviously, we can't talk about everything about the love of God, but here's some things about the love of God. Number one, we talked about this, the fact that the love of God is perceivable. We can perceive, we can see the love of God. And one of the great ways that everybody can see the love of God is the fact that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. Amen. In fact, in 1 John 3:16, it talks about perceiving the love of God and the fact that he laid down his life for us. If you doubt the love of God, look at the cross of Christ. Amen. God commended or demonstrated his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's love. Amen. Love gave himself not for friends, not for righteous people. Love gave himself for his enemies. Amen. That's the epitome of it. And so you and I can perceive, we can see the love of God. All humanity can see the love of God if they'll see the cross of Christ and what he did for us on that cross. But not only is the love of God perceivable, we talked about this also on Sunday morning, that the love of God is practical. In other words, it's useful. God doesn't just simply have a love that is up there with him and doesn't make no difference in our life. Amen. His love is displayed. His love is practical. His love does something for us. Now, the fact of the matter is 1 John talks about people saying they love, but not showing it. If a man say he love his brother and see his brother naked or destitute or in need of food and doesn't give him. In fact, James says the same thing. How dwelleth the love of God in you? If you see a brother in desperate need, now we got to be careful today. So-called people's needs are not needs nowadays. I had somebody, believe it or not, I had somebody send a letter to my father-in-law's church. I was at another church pastoring. They were trying to get the letter to me. It was an old friend that I had led to the Lord years ago, and it was his child who had wound up getting saved as a kid and growing up. And they sent a letter talking about the great need in their family, how they were struggling, how they didn't even have cable. I'm serious, folks. We are hurting so bad we don't even have cable. Now, folks, cable is not a need. Amen. Now, I know some men think they need fishing equipment. I need that rod. No, you don't. But I'm not going to go there. I'm not a fisherman, but I still won't go there nonetheless. But you understand what I'm saying? We in our minds have turned once in the needs. In fact, commercials help us. You deserve this. You deserve to go into debt and buy this thing. And before you know it, you're saying to yourself, yeah, I deserve that. And I'm going to go into debt to get that. Amen. And so we all have to be careful of saying, okay, what is a need? What is a want? Nonetheless, the Lord is practical in his love. His love did something for us. You and I that are saved, we know his love redeemed us. His love rescued us. Amen. We were stuck in the world, according to Ephesians chapter number 2, but his great love wherewith he loved us. Amen. In fact, it was God's love for the nation of Israel that caused him with a mighty hand to go into the nation of Egypt and to rescue those people out of Egypt, out of the clutches of Pharaoh. Amen. It was his love. He knew their sorrow. He felt their pain. He raised up Moses to go in there and to do that work. Amen. So love does something. It redeems us. It also protects us. In love, God would not allow Balaam to curse the children of Israel, but in fact turned the curse into a blessing. Isn't that wonderful? How what the devil means for evil, a lot of times God can turn around for good. In fact, not only it's what the devil means for evil, sometimes it's what people mean for evil. God can turn around and use you for good. Now say, well, hold on a minute. Do we have an illustration? I'm glad you asked. Joseph is the greatest illustration. Joseph, you recall, Joseph was the dreamer. At that time, God spoke in dreams. And God gave a dream, if you will, God gave a word to Joseph. Joseph, here's what's going to happen to you. One day, you're going to be the man. But until then, you're going to have to go that way. Joseph, one day, you're going to go up there. But until then, you got to go down there. And what happened? The brothers, they threw him in the pit. And you know what happened from what happened. And at the end of the story in the book of Genesis, he said to his brothers, listen, you meant for evil what you did. There ain't no doubt about it. I can see God in it, but your motive was still the same. And your meanness was still the same. You meant evil, but God meant for good. God took what they did and used it to get Joseph where Joseph needed to go so that Joseph could actually save those people that threw him in the pit. Amazing, isn't it? Boy, there's a victorious cycle. I wouldn't say a vicious one. Where God did a wonderful thing to save the people that threw Joseph in there. And you know that he's a great picture. And by the way, the greatest type in the Old Testament of Jesus is Joseph. The greatest type. And there's so many different things. The world has a philosophy. And you've heard this before. When life hands you a lemon, make what? Lemon. That's natural. But by the supernatural power of God, for you and I that are saved, when life hands us a lemon, get this, we can actually make orange juice. Matter of fact, I like orange. I don't like lemonade. My wife likes it. I don't. Hope she don't get this tape. But nonetheless, we say, what do you mean by that? When life hands you a lemon, you can make it. Listen, by the power of God, God can take whatever crazy situation and he can turn it not into a natural situation, but in a supernatural situation. He can make something totally different out of it. Amen. Only he can do that. Amen. And so in his love, he redeemed us. In his love, he protects us. And then another thing, in his love, he restores us. By the way, if you've never needed restoration as a Christian, you've been a pretty good one on probably all your life, I'm sure. Amen. We've all gotten off track somehow, some way, derailed, if you will. In love, he restores us. In fact, we looked at the book of Hosea. Hosea is a great illustration of the northern kingdom of Israel getting away from God. God raising up this prophet Hosea, and saying, look, I want you to marry this woman. This woman's going to be unfaithful to you, but I want you to love her and forgive her and receive her back. And it's all an illustration of how God is faithful and loves us. Even when we are unfaithful, he loves us still and restores us. And at the end of Hosea chapter number 14, he says, come back, turn from your backside, come back, I'll freely love you, I'll heal you. That's what love does, it restores. We talked about love expressed in the fact of mercy. Mercy's practical, it doesn't give us what we deserve. Love, we talked about it in the respect to grace. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve, amen? And God's been so gracious to us. And then also God's faithfulness. All of these, his mercy, his grace, his faithfulness, all of this is because of his love. In fact, Lamentations 3:22, maybe 23, it is of the Lord's mercies. When you talk about mercies, talking about not getting what we rightfully deserve. Now, God chastened the nation, but he could have destroyed them totally. I've been chastened by the Lord, but I like what the psalmist said. The Lord has chastened me, but not unto death. Amen. But here's the thing. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Here it is. His compassions. When you talk about compassion, you're talking about love. His compassions, they what? Fail not. They're new every morning. What is it all about? Great is thy faithfulness. And so love is expressed in not giving us what we rightfully deserve. Love is expressed in giving us things we don't deserve. Love is expressed in being faithful even when we're not faithful. So we talked about love being perceivable. We talked about love being practical. Now I want to talk to you about this. The love of God is not only perceivable and practical. Love of God is powerful. Powerful. And here's what I want to talk about a little bit. It's powerful. Here's three things that I note in the Bible that love, the love of God does in its power. Look at Psalm 119 and look at verse number 88, if you would, please. Psalm 119, verse number 88. Here's what the psalmist prayed. This is a prayer of the psalmist in this chapter, in this verse. The psalmist prayed in Psalm 119, 88, quicken me. The word quicken is to what? Make alive. It's the essence of revival. It's the essence of revive. You see, this psalmist at the end of the chapter tells the Lord, I'm a sheep gone astray, seek thy servant. He was in a situation, he loved the word and so on. It's a wonderful, but he's praying for God to revive his spiritual life again, right? Now watch what he says. Quicken me after what? Thy loving kindness. In other words, he knew God's love could revive his heart again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Right? Now, look at verse number 159. So in other words, the love of God is powerful. It can revive. It can renew. It can restore. It can refresh. It can do something to our hearts. I don't know about you, but the devil is constantly telling me God has an issue loving me. Does he ever do that to you? Do you know why? Because you know what you are, even though other people don't know what you are. You know you better than anybody knows you. You know you on the inside. You know your thoughts. You know your desires sometimes. You know, by the way, you know your sinfulness. And what happens is you say to yourself, how can I be this human and be so loved by him? What the devil does is he whispers in your ear, yeah, man, wow, you. Yeah, I can see. Matter of fact, we often say, oh, I can see how God loves that person. I can see how God loves that person. But I can't see how he loves me that way. But I'll tell you what happens when you and I get a hold of the fact that in spite of us, he loves us. That does something in our hearts. That does something in our hearts. Why do you think the scripture says keep yourself in the love of God? Book of Jude. Amen. Look with me, if you would, please. Look at verse number 159 of the same chapter. See, this psalmist prayed often, and one of his prayers was, may the love of God quicken me. May it revive me. Verse number 159, it says this. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Again, right? Quicken me according to thy loving kindness. Look at the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3, if you would, please. May we understand the love of God is the great need. Amen. May we understand the love of God. It's hard to understand how God could love us the way we are. You know why some of us have a hard time understanding why he loves us the way we do? Because we don't love people when we get to know them that the way they really are. I'm sorry. Did I say something wrong? Isn't it amazing how you can really love and respect somebody at a distance? All of a sudden, you get to know who they really are. You get to see who they really are. They're more wretched than you thought. You thought that was a nice guy. You thought this, that, and the other thing. And you can really love that person. Then all of a sudden, you get to see that side that you don't like. That's when it becomes hard to love them. Can I get a witness? This is only the truth. And what happens is we say to ourselves, I have a hard time loving that type of person. So we convince ourselves if that's the way we love, we have a hard time loving that type of person. Then we say to ourselves, well, he must have a hard time loving me the way that I am. We kind of measure or limit ourselves, if you will. Amen. That's the truth, right? Look at Ephesians chapter number 3. The love of God is powerful. Oh, if the love of God could get a hold of our hearts, it could revive us again. Look at Ephesians 3. Look at verse number, in beginning of verse number 14. This is a prayer. There's two prayers in the book of Ephesians. And one of the prayers is for God to illuminate or enlighten, if you will. And the other one is a prayer for God to enable. But within this prayer here in Ephesians 3, beginning in verse number 14, I want you to see what Paul's prayer was for the Ephesian believers. Beginning of verse number 14, Paul said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Hey, by the way, the family of God can be found in two places, heaven and earth. Cannot be found underneath. Cannot be found underneath. That means there's no purgatory under there neither. Amen. Look at verse number 16. That he would grant you, here's his prayer for them, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Verse 17. That, by the way, that's amazing because all these that's is a connection. In order that. He said, I'm praying for the spirit of God inside of you. To strengthen you, right? In order that, verse number 17, Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in what? Love. Why pray for the Spirit of God in me to help me, to strengthen me? Here's a reason. Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by who? By the Holy Spirit that he's given unto us. We are illuminated. We are enlightened. We understand the love of God because the Holy Spirit of God that's in us opens our eyes to it. Amen. And watch what he says, that you may be rooted and grounded in love. Verse number 18, that you may be able to what? Comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know what? The love of Christ. It's amazing. He's praying for them to comprehend the fact that you can really never comprehend the full measure of the love of God. Amen? To know the love of Christ, which passes what? Knowledge. Why? Why? What's going to happen if you and I get a grip of the fact that he loves us so much we can't even get a hold of it and understand that that's how much it is? What is going to happen when you and I get a hold of that kind of love? Or should I say when that kind of love gets a hold of us? Look what he says at the end of verse 19, because this is the key. That you might be what? Filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God. That sounds like revival. If I could understand how much he loves me, there's no limit. I can never understand the limit of that love because it's limitless. But if I could understand that it's so vast and big and mighty, it can fill me with the fullness of God. Amen. It's a powerful thing, the love of God. Oh, might it get a hold of our hearts. Amen. It's powerful in the fact that the love of God quickens us. Matter of fact, that's the emphasis of this point. It's powerful in the fact that it quickens us. By the way, let me say this in reference to the power of God. 1 John 4:19. We love him. Why? Because he loves us. His love one day ignited your love. One day you understood the love of God for you and it did something to you that you reacted loving back. What would happen to us if we constantly understood this love and constantly got a hold of this love? What would happen? We would constantly be responding and reacting with the same love. Well, maybe that's why the devil says, yeah, God's mad at you. And these bad things that happen, oh, he's mad at you. If he can get me questioning his love, I'm not going to enjoy it and I'm not going to respond to it. Live neutral, if you will. Amen. The love of God is powerful. It quickens us. Here's another thing it does. Turn with me, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure. Amen. How measureless. How measureless. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Wonderful story of love. Amen. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strains. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 14 and 15. See, the love of God, not only does it quicken us in its power, but it constrains us. It motivates us. That's the essence of what I was saying in 1 John 4:19. We love him because he loved us. His love is a motivating factor. There are people you do things for because they love you. There are people you don't want to hurt because they love you. Their love for you is a motive for you and how you react and respond and treat them. Amen. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 5. Look at verse number 14 and 15. For the love of God, Paul said, constraineth us. It's the motivating factor. Amen. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. Then all are dead. Verse number 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. See, the love of Christ constrains us to live for him. That's the emphasis there. Amen. Those of us who've been saved and forgiven a lot of sin, we understand what love is. In Luke chapter 7, 36 to 50, there were two men. Jesus gave a story, if you recall. You remember the woman, the sinful woman, was washing the feet of Jesus, and the Pharisee wouldn't even greet him and respect him. And so Jesus gave a parable. He said, look, there was two individuals. They owed a man something. One owed a lot, one owed a little, but that man frankly forgave them both. Who do you think is going to love him more? You remember that woman, she loved him. She loved him because she knew what she was and she knew she was forgiven. His forgiveness, which is a response of love or an act of love, his loving forgiveness provoked this woman to love him far greater than that person who thought, well, I've only been forgiven a little. I don't know much. Amen? I don't know much. They that are forgiven much, the Bible says, love much. See, the love of God is powerful. It quickens us. It constrains us. It motivates us, if you will. But then there's another thing, and we talk about the power of God's love. Turn back to Psalm 36, if you would, please. The love of God is powerful. Isn't it powerful? It's powerful. May we experience the power. I love seeing it on paper, but I want to feel it in life, and I want to see it in life. Amen? The love of God quickens us. It constrains us. But there's something else that his powerful love does. In Psalm 36, I want you to see this, if you would, please. Psalm 36. And I want you to look with me, please, in verse number 7. Psalm 36 and verse number 7. Notice what the psalmist said about the love of God. He said, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Excellent, right? What happens because of God's love is so excellent? Therefore, the children of men, that's human beings, put their what? Trust under the shadow of thy wings. Listen, I put this down here. The love of God not only quickens us in its power, constrains us in its power, but it comforts us in its power. Amen. You and I can trust God because he loves us. In fact, he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, casting all your care upon me or upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. You and I can be comforted by the love of God and in the love of God. Let me give you the next point. We talked about the fact the love of God is perceivable. We can see it. It's practical. We can experience it. It's powerful. It can do something in our hearts to help us, to motivate us, to wake us up, to motivate us, and to comfort us. Amen? But here's another thing that's wonderful about the love of God. It is perpetual. It's perpetual. Song of Solomon, verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 7 says, many waters cannot quench love. The love of God for you and I that are saved especially is unquenchable. Amen. So what does that mean? That means he'll never stop loving us. He can never stop loving us. There is a manner of love that God has to you and I that are saved that is not upon the lost. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. What manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Hey, God loves the lost people, no doubt about it. God's love is expressed to lost people, no doubt about it. But if they do not respond to the love of God and they leave this earth, they'll be in a loveless place forever. Amen. They go through life saying to God, not your will, but mine be done. Not your will, but mine be done. And at the end of their life, God will say to them, not my will, but yours be done. Amen. But you and I that are saved, we've accepted the love of God. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And once you and I are children of God, we are loved and loved forever. No doubt about it. Never ending. In fact, the book of Jeremiah 31:3, in reference to the nation of Israel, by application, all of God's children, he said this, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I tell you what I like about that. It doesn't say I love you with an everlasting love. He said, I have. That's already a done deal. I've already loved you forever. How about that? I've already loved you forever. Amen. That's wonderful. The book of Isaiah chapter 49 verses 14 to 16. The children of Israel were being chastened by the Lord, and they thought the Lord stopped loving them. They questioned the Lord's love for them. And he said, listen, can a mother forget her sucking child to have compassion? And here's the truth. Yea, they may. There have been mothers who have not loved their children, who've thrown them in the dumpster. Recently, I saw on the news a woman had a child. I think the child had some kind of mental issues. And she took him out to the woods in New Jersey with his package and left him there. Somebody found him. A mother, to you and I, it shouldn't be, it'd be like, hold on, mothers are supposed to love their children. And the majority of mothers love their children, no doubt about it. But there is the possibility that even a loving mother can stop loving their child. But God said this, not me, I will never. I've written you on the palm of my hands. See, God will never stop loving us. His compassions, they fail not. I may fail. He never fails. Amen. Jesus never fails. Turn to Romans chapter number 8, if you would, please. Romans chapter number 8. I'm saying that, listen, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can say that can stop God from loving us. Listen, if that were the case, do you know he wouldn't have to wait for us to do it or say it to stop loving us? How many people understand that? What I just said. If God could stop loving us for something wrong that we would say or do or think, whatever, he could stop loving us right now because he knows what we're going to do tomorrow. Why wait till tomorrow? Let me tell you something, brother and sister. Thank God I'm not God. Do you know how many people I would have dealt with before they did anything because I knew they were going to do it? You know how many doors I would have not opened for people? I'm serious. I get in the flesh sometimes. Now hold a door for people. I mean, nowadays you hold a door for people nowadays, and you know, I mean, thank you. I mean, in my city we have a lot of stop signs, and you know everybody's rushing to get through. And I've been there forever, and the guy comes up, and I'm supposed to go, and I yeah, go ahead, and usually we give a wave. You don't even get a wave. I say to myself sometimes in the flesh, I shouldn't probably share this with you. You get mad at me and stop loving me. Get to know me a little better. I say, you know what? If I'd have known he would have been going to be a creep like that, I would never let him go. That's what I say. Is there anybody else in here as sinful as me, or am I the only wretched one? Okay, good. I say that to say this, and you know this to be true. If God was going to deal with us according to what he knew, we'd all be in trouble. For the Lord Jesus to say to Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I pray for you. And listen, you're going to deny me that you even know me. But I'm praying for you that your faith fail not, and when you get right, I need you to serve me. Strengthen the brethren. Hold on a minute. Jesus is telling Peter, here, you're going to deny me. You're not even know me. And here's what I want you to do. Do not let your faith fail. Get back up. Because I got service for you to do. Boggles my mind. Boggles my mind. He knew what Judas was going to do. If we knew the traitor, we'd have stoned him already. Can I get a witness on that one? Anyway, look at Romans 8. We got to quit because I'm going to go over time here. And I don't get paid OT on this now. Look at Romans chapter number 8. Look at verse number 35. Romans 8, 35. The Bible says this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. No matter what we go through, it doesn't mean God don't love us. See, that's the tricks of the devil. You're going through some. You and I could read the story of Job, and we know God loved Job. In fact, we know God's the one that got Job into the situation. Can I get a witness on that one? Please don't refer me to the devil, Lord. Hey, if you consider Brother Renz in here, let me go beat him up for a while. What I'm saying is we go through what we go through in our human nature. We say to ourselves, what did I do wrong? What am I doing wrong? Hey, he whom thou lovest is sick. You can be sick and still loved of God. Amen. God never promised to keep you from trouble. He promised to be with you in the trouble. Psalm 91:15. The man that set his love upon God, he said, I'll be with you in trouble. I would have thought he would have said, I'll keep you out of trouble. No. You're going through trouble. In this world, you're going to have tribulations, but I'll be with you. As it is written, verse number 36, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are accounted sheep for slaughter. Nay, verse number 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that what? Loved us. For I am persuaded, and this is what we need to be persuaded of too, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, the future, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, if he's going to separate his love from me, he's going to have to separate it from his son. Amen. His love for me is in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. Amen. He's got to stop loving his own son if he's going to stop loving me. And that's not going to happen, folks. That's not going to happen at all. I can't get into the last point, but I will give it to you. We talked about the love of God being perceivable, practical, powerful, perpetual, never ending. But in honesty, when you're going to look at the love of God, you got to say this. Sometimes it's painful. You say, what do you mean by that? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Hey, sometimes in love, he corrects us and deals with us. I've experienced it. And afterwards, I thank God for it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Pray you'll bless our time of fellowship and bless the upcoming service in Jesus' name. Amen.